The Lord, speaking through the prophet, said, "Then I restored that which I did not take away." Amen. It's not hard to visualize the events of Good Friday. In our mind's eye, we can visualize the ruthless men who brought Jesus to trial. We can see and picture the angry crowd, relentless in its determination to have Jesus crucified. We can imagine Pilate as he reluctantly, out of fear, gives in to their murderous demands. We have a mental picture of the mocking and the flogging and the heavy cross that he was made to bear. We can visualize the Roman soldiers laying Jesus down on the cross with arms spread wide and palms up so that they could nail his hands and feet and affix him to the cross. We can see those same soldiers lift the cross vertically and drop it into its stanchion. We can picture our Lord struggling for breath as he attempts to speak several times from the cross. And with a little extra effort, we can also imagine the internal soul struggle as Jesus labors under the crushing weight of our guilt, as the Heavenly Father punishes his Son for our sins. But what about this figure that is dying on the tree? How is it that his death on the cross has done such great things for you and me? It is because the man that we see suspended on that cross is uniquely qualified to be the one mediator between God and man. This is because Jesus himself is true God and true man in a single person. Jesus Christ is true God according to his divine nature, and true man according to his human nature. And the union of these two natures did not mingle or mix in such a way that Jesus is a little less than God or a little more than a man. Nor did the union of these two natures make Jesus part God and part man. But our Lord is completely God and completely man, yet in only that one person hanging from the cross. He is God in every sense of the word. And at the same time, he is a man in the fullest sense of the word. And so Jesus has a fully divine nature and a fully human nature in that one crucified figure that we see hanging from the tree. And since these two natures are forever united in Jesus, anything that you can say of the one nature, you can also say of the other nature, because of the personal union of these two natures in Christ. As an example, let me back up to Christmas. According to his human nature, Jesus was born in a stable. But since there are not two Jesuses, but only one Jesus, it is correct to say that according to his divine nature, that the eternal God was born in a stable. Now, this poses a problem because God exists from all eternity. He is before all created things. He is without beginning or end of days. It is theoretically impossible for God to be born. And yet it is true that God was born into time and space because of the personal union of these two natures in Christ. And because the communication of these attributes go in both directions. Another example. We know that no man can be in more than one place at the same time. Because man is mortal, man is bound by the rules of time and space. And yet, according to his divine nature, the man Jesus is able to keep his promise to the church when he says at the end of Matthew, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the ages." And so he makes that promise to the church as she baptizes and teaches everything he commanded. This means that Jesus Christ promises to be present among us whenever we hear his word or receive his sacraments. After the ascension, the man Jesus isn't confined to one place in heaven, but he can now be present everywhere at once according to his divine nature. So that Jesus is with us tonight in his word. This is because the Bible teaches that his divine nature confers this ability or these attributes so that the man Jesus can be present everywhere at once. Now, the fact that there are these two natures in Christ, the human and the divine, has tremendous implications for the atonement, the sacrifice that God has made for us and for all mankind upon the cross. And so for just a moment, we are going to look at how this works, how the crucifixion occurred according to these two natures in Christ. People often ask how God could die on a cross, since God, by definition, is an eternal spirit that cannot die. This riddle is solved in the two natures of Christ. For only by becoming a finite man could the infinite God have a human nature that was able to bleed and die for the sins of humanity. This was completely necessary to God's plan of bringing salvation to us and to all through his death on the cross. If Christ were not also true man, this would have remained an impossibility. But because of his two natures, the unthinkable occurred. Because God in Christ also has a human nature, God was able to offer up his life on the altar of the cross. He was able to forfeit his lifeblood for the sins of all humanity. Someone will ask, did only the human nature die? No. For the two natures in Christ are united in such a way that what is true of the one nature also is true of the other nature. So when Jesus suffered and died according to his human nature, God also suffered and died. This, my friends, would be quite impossible if it were not for this personal union of God and man coming together in the person of Jesus Christ. The union of these two natures in Christ was essential to our salvation in that it allowed God to represent us as the Son of Man. For in God's very complex system of human representation and cosmic sacrifice, only a true man could step forward to represent all mankind. And just as Adam had represented the entire human race and had failed miserably in the task, so the new Adam needed to come forth who could do battle with the devil and represent all humanity so that all humanity could share in his success. The Son of God that we see dying on the tree is this new man, this second Adam. As a true man, Jesus was able to be that representative man upon the world stage. And because he now had a human nature, God could become our substitute. He could stand in for you and for me and die in our place. God had nothing forcing him to redeem us. Instead, God did this as the supreme act of all time, as the supreme act of divine love. For in Christ, God would voluntarily take our place, suffering for our sins, preventing us from suffering that hell that we so richly deserve. And even though this is rarely, if ever, explained to us, this could never have happened if it were not for the two natures in Christ working together in perfect unison for our salvation. For it was only as a true man with a fully human nature that God was able to undo the ancient wrongs of the original Adam that introduced sin and death into our world. Someone will say, well, wasn't it easier for Jesus to resist sin and temptation since he is also true God? Even though the man Jesus is also, according to his divine nature, true God, he did not rely upon or use his powers as God. Instead, he took all that Satan dished out, using only his moral powers as a righteous man. Therefore, Jesus endured all of the pain, all of the suffering, and all of the temptations that you and I do. Without any extra help from God, without any special advantage over other men. Christ Jesus experienced life and encountered death just as we do, according to his human nature. Jesus was an obedient son, not because he had a divine nature to strengthen him and prop him up, but Jesus was the one and only perfect man that has ever been born or has ever lived. And surely by the virtue of his own obedient human nature, as a man living among men, Jesus experienced all the woes of life that we do, and then some. And yet he never stumbled or sinned in any way. On the other hand, if Jesus had only been a man and nothing more, then no matter what he suffered on the cross, it would not have ever been enough. He could not have been our Savior. For the Bible is emphatic at this point in saying that no mere man can redeem his brother from sin. If Jesus had only been a perfect man who had somehow himself escaped original sin, then death would not have been able to lay claim to him, and yet he would not have been able to impart life to us. In order for his sacrifice on the cross to have had its power to erase all of our human sins and to release us from death, it had to have God's own divine power behind it. Therefore, it is only because the blood that he shed is the blood of God's Son that it is able to cleanse an entire world of sin. The blood that Jesus poured out on the cross was more than human blood. But because of the personal union of these two natures in Christ, it was also God's own holy and precious blood. that was shed for you, for me, and for all. Other men, from time to time in the history of the world, have heroically sacrificed their own human lifeblood to save others. But they have saved others only in a very limited sense, that they merely delayed their death. It is only the singular, historical, human sacrifice of Jesus nailed to the cross in which we see God shedding his blood to impart not only forgiveness, but along with it, eternal life. Yes, I know, God is a spirit without a body or blood, so how can this be? Because according to the two natures in Christ, what can be declared of the one nature can also be declared of the other. So in this union of the two natures, where Jesus shed human blood, it also became God shedding his own divine blood to atone not only for our sins, but for the sins of a whole world. My friends, God is a genius. For how else could this one-time sacrifice on the cross, how could it have possibly have had the power or the potency to forgive trillions of sins to billions of sinners? So whenever you meditate on the sufferings and death of Jesus, visualize the scenes as they are described in the last chapters of the four Gospels. See Jesus dying on the tree for you and me. But also understand that the Savior who died on Good Friday had to have a human nature so that he could represent all humanity. He had to be fully human in every way so that he could bleed and die and make such a sacrifice. And also understand that the Savior who died on Good Friday had to have a divine nature so that his death would have the power to atone for all sins and save all people universally who cling to the cross in faith. Also understand that he had to be true God to have the power to resurrect himself and to restore bodily life and resurrection to us all. In other words, as mature Christians view the two natures in Christ as the most integral and sophisticated part of God's plan to save us by his cross. Because of these two natures in Christ, you need to see God dying in your place. And you need to see the man Jesus restoring life and resurrection and hope to us all. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in the crucified Christ. Amen.